I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday indeed.
Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
That's us.
Yeah.
Excited to chat about, what's this movie called? Attack the Block.
Damn. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. First, we have some news.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start.
You please. Yes.
Yes.
Should do
yes.
that.
Thank you. I will. Mm-hmm. First up, R.L. Stein has revealed that 3 new Fear Street movies are in the works. These are apparently in addition to Fear Street Prom Queen, which we already know is coming out this year.
Wow.
Yeah. We've yet to hear from Netflix on this, but Stein says that the writers are working. So.
Well, write doesn't mean sold and like.
Yeah, but I'm assuming if they're working with Netflix, then okay. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to assume that R.L. Stein is correct
because yeah, that's fair.
I like the Fear Street movies. So
yeah,
I want more.
Okay. Fun.
Yeah.
So fun. I have a little downer one, but it's not all downer.
Okay.
But I think by now everyone is aware of these really devastating fires in Southern California. If you're a horror fan looking for a way to help, Pentagram Peter Pan has released a really very beautiful 18x24 foil paper Nosferatu print, and all of the proceeds for sales are going towards release efforts. It's, like I said, it's really beautiful. It's got Bill Skarsgård, Lily Rose, and the rats on it. The rats are pretty prominent, which is very cute.
Nice.
And then also just like a tangent news, Jamie Lee Curtis from Halloween, obviously our favorite, well, one of our favorite scream queens, pledged $1 million to her community because she was evacuated. And it's just nice to see rich people spending their money on stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely nice, especially when there's been a stark contrast of, you know, who's that one guy who went on Twitter and was like, how much can I pay for a private firefighting company to come out and help my house?
Like, yeah.
Read the fucking room, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, really cool. I live out here, so it's insane.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this, and it's scary. So yeah. That's cool that people are doing stuff to give back.
Yeah. Anyway, on a happier note, you have another news now.
Yeah, what if it was just the saddest news you've ever heard? It's not. We've gotten a first look at A24's newest horror movie that's coming out in March. It's called Opus. The film has been described as a flashy pop horror, as well as a tense psychosocial game of cat and mouse.
Tell them who it stars.
I will. It stars John Malkovich.
Ah!
And Ayo Edebiri, my favorite Irish actress.
Oh, of all of them? There's so many.
She's not Irish, but it's an ongoing joke that she is. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
John Malkovich was so good in the 2001 version of Aragorn. He just can't be replaced.
I believe you. Yeah, I've never seen it or read it, so I don't know. But I believe you.
I wish you'd picked that for your ebook this year.
I didn't, but I do have it, so I will be reading it eventually.
Yeah, at some point in life.
At some point in life, I will be reading it. I mean, I'm on track right now. I've already finished 2 books, and we're on week 2, so.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm on track to really fly through my goal of 25 books, so.
Yeah. Yeah, 26 is... is one every 2 weeks, 26 letters in the alphabet. That's what she's doing is one for every letter of the alphabet.
Well, I'm only doing 25 books because I did not have a book that starts with X.
Oh.
I'm only doing 25. But that gave me an extra for Sunrise on the Reaping, which comes out this year and I do want to read.
Yeah.
So I was like, that'll be my 26th book. So.
I already bought that and everything. It's just
pre-ordered,
shipped,
huh?
From Amazon. The second it comes out. Better be here that day or I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love that. What's your last news?
Oh, wait, yeah.
No, second to last news.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Wow. We sure are talking.
Yeah, we are.
Fede Alvarez and Alien Romulus are under a little bit of fire.
No!
After, not like bad fire.
Oh.
Oh, should I not use that word right now? Should I say something else?
Yeah, Katie, read the room. Jesus.
Sorry. Gosh. Well, they're in a little bit of trouble on social media after Fede confirmed that they adjusted the CGI on the film for its home release. So the digital and the Blu-ray are different. Funny enough, he said that they did it two reasons. One, because they ran out of time during post. And two, ironically, to make it look less like CGI. So that's interesting. But it was okay. All of the Ian Holm scenes. And then some like face tuning throughout. At Razor Wire, Ryan on X has a bunch of side-by-side shots that really, really spotlights like how different it is. I mean, it's not astronomically different. It's definitely noticeable, but I don't know that they really did themselves any favors. It still kind of looks like bad CGI.
Yeah, interesting. I know when that movie came out, that was a controversial scene that they put in.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting approach to...
Yeah. Well, but was it controversial because of the CGI, or was it controversial because it was him, like, posthumously?
Yeah, it was more because of the, like, I guess AI usage of past footage to make that. That was, yeah, because obviously that's a gray area. Like, is that okay to do when that person's not alive to give their consent for it anymore? I don't know.
Weird, yeah.
It's definitely, like, an interesting thing that we're dealing with in this era. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Strange. I mean, we've done it a lot.
Yeah. It's not the first time it's been done. Yeah. No.
Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. Oh gosh. What's his name in Hunger Games?
Philip Seymour.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they use AI for that? Because didn't his brother stand in or something? No, that was Paul Walker on Fast and Furious. They did it on there, too.
But are we talking AI or are we talking CGI?
We're talking about, I think it's AI that they used for, like, Carrie Fisher and Ian Holm.
Oh, I thought that was just, like, straight up CGI.
Oh, I thought it was AI that they were using in mix with CGI to, like, get that. Because how else would they get the performer's face to do that when they, you know, I don't know.
Well, the same way you design, like, a monster. You just are designing Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, I still definitely understand this kind of like ethical dilemma of is it appropriate to be CGIing or otherwise using people's likeness posthumously?
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming they have to get
their estate or whatever.
Right, approval from the estate. I mean, obviously in Fast and Furious it was the family approved because it was his brother that was standing in, I believe. So I'm assuming that the family was consenting to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
A weird dilemma.
Yeah.
Last news from me.
Mm-hmm.
28 years later, producer Andrew McDonald has recently confirmed that Cillian Murphy is not in the movie. That's previously, awkward. We thought he was returning.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he was. In fact, a lot of people thought that it was him in the trailer.
I thought that.
Guy. It wasn't. It was an extra. But yeah, a direct quote, McDonald told Empire on this, we wanted him to be involved, and he wanted to be involved. He is not in the first film, but I'm hoping there will be some Jim somewhere along the line, because remember, this is a new trilogy, so we don't know if he'll be in the next movies. But yeah, he's involved in the moment as an executive producer, and I would hope we can work with him in some way in the future in the trilogy. So if you were expecting Cillian Murphy... No, you don't get him.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I really thought, for some reason, I was thinking he had been confirmed to be in it.
I thought so.
But I guess maybe I just read that he was confirmed to be a part of it.
Yeah, I've thought this whole time that he was in it for sure. And
I did too.
I think all of everybody, I think everybody thought that because we were all trying to piece together, like, how would Cillian Murphy's zombie make sense?
Yeah.
Like, is it a flashback? Is it a, like, dream? Like,
yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping it was a dream sequence, but it's not even him, so...
Well, so we did know a couple weeks ago, probably end of December, we did find out that it was an extra because he came forward and like went to TMZ and was like, that's me. But that didn't confirm that it wasn't still supposed to be Cillian Murphy. It was just a body double that was.
Well, it like, also just know. Didn't confirm that he wasn't in it. He just wasn't in the trailer.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Which apparently in that same article, I think it was Danny Boyle said that he showed the trailer to his partner and they were like, everybody's going to think that's Cillian Murphy. And he was like, no, they won't. Come on.
We did. We sure
did. It looks exactly like him.
It does. It's got the same like bone structure in his face. Yeah. I mean, not his body doesn't look anything like him, but his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
And I would have thought, like, even if he was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. They are going to think that. Like, I would have put it out anyway. They made us all talk.
Oh, 100%. That trailer was everywhere because people were talking about not only how good of a trailer it was, but because people thought it was him.
Such a good trailer. Yeah, I was even arguing. Somebody was like, oh my God, this is how you do trailers because it doesn't spoil anything. And I even commented on a TikTok. I even said, like, what do you mean it didn't spoil anything? That's Cillian Murphy right there. I'll be.
She was deceived.
Yeah. My foot's in my mouth on that one. It's only a matter of time before somebody comments back on me and they're like, haha, this didn't age well.
Yeah, it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm. You know where I put it? Have you seen it? Have you seen that comment?
No. Okay.
Yeah. Ay-yay. Okay, well, last one for me.
Mm-hmm.
A demo just launched of an upcoming horror video game called Dead Letter Department. You play as a temp worker at a data entry job, typing up words and addresses on mail and letters that weren't able to be delivered. And then sort of strange stories start to emerge on the mail and you start feeling like you're being watched.
Ooh.
Yeah, sounds super fun and spooky. I guess it's reminiscent of an old Dreamcast title called The Typing of the Dead. But that one was a little bit more like comedy, not so much. This one is kind of strictly horror, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But you can play the demo now on Steam, and then the full version releases on January 30th.
Nice.
Yeah. I downloaded the demo just now.
You'll have to let us know how it is.
I will. I will play the demo and let you know.
Thank you.
I do love typing.
All right. Are we ready to talk about Attack the Block?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Yes, please.
Attack the Block is a 2011 British sci-fi comedy horror film. A lot of different genres here.
So many.
Yeah, it's about a South London teenage street gang who must defend their neighborhood from malevolent extraterrestrials. It was written by Joe Cornish, and it's also his directorial debut. It stars John Boyega, Jodie Whittaker, and Nick Frost. It had a budget of 8 million euros, which is about 13 million USD. It made around 6.2 to 6.5 million at the box office. That's also USD. It has a 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 91% critic score, and a 75% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
People like it. They really like it.
They like it. They really, really like it. But did we?
Duds.
Oh, stop. Yeah. I can't stop thinking about that. And now you've done it again. I'm going to be.
That's how I got to that, saying that out loud, is you were like, they like it. They really like it. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, there's like an earworm or something going around right now. And then I remembered what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. For people listening, I've been obsessed with the interview of Timothée Chalamet, where he's asked what he eats at the movie, and he says, milk duds. I rip milk duds. I'm talking 12 at a time. Chew, chew, chew. Suck the chocolate out. Soak in the caramel. I can't stop saying it. I think it's the funniest thing.
Yeah, it's a great interview.
And I'm not even like a Timothy fan, but that shit is funny as fuck. Yeah. Not that he's fine, you know. I don't like, not him. Like him.
Yeah,
I like that him. Made me really like him. Yes. Now I think I'm a Timothy fan. Yeah. After that interview, I was like, all right, I get it. Yeah. I understand.
He's just so normal, you know?
Yeah.
Except he's dating Kylie Jenner.
Stars. They're just like us.
Yeah.
Except they date Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Aye, aye.
Anyways, more about, well, not more about, just starting to talk about Attack the Block.
Yeah.
Let's pivot. Let's actually talk about what we came here to talk about.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I can't stop yawning. I don't know what it is.
It's in the air. It's
yeah, 2:30 comes around and it's just like.
Phew. Yeah, 2:30 is, that's nap time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. This movie. The first thing,
do you want to rate it or?
Yeah, let's just go. Okay. Thank you for being here. We are the Killer Hughes Podcast. No, I mean, the first comment that I wrote about this movie as I was watching was like, why aren't these kids more worried about this alien that just like, why was there no concern at all? They were just like, but then obviously,
15.
Yeah, yeah. You figure out that they're just teenagers that, yeah.
Yeah.
Them against the world.
Mm-hmm. I actually really, I think the first 10 minutes of this movie should be taught in screenwriting classes.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely think it's so well done in terms of setting up what we are about to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It introduces the characters. You immediately know who these people are, mm-hmm. what the conflict's going to be, and you can almost tell what the character arcs are going to be too.
Yep.
But it's all done so subtly that it's still very enjoyable to watch it all play out. Yeah. It just sets up a story very, very well. I really like that.
And I felt like they did. I mean, this cast is massive. There are so many people in this movie. And they do a really good job telling each person's story. There's character development for every character in the film, which is like really hard to do. A lot of times some of the smaller characters get lost and it's like, why were they there? Every character had his or her place in this film, I felt like.
Yeah, 100%. It was very distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. I feel like I never really got the kids confused, even though there were 5 or 6 of them. Mm-hmm. And then the girl group too, where it was just, yeah, I don't know. It was very well done.
Yeah.
Very good characterizations as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like Joe Cornish put a lot of time and effort into researching, like, not only the perfect people to play the characters, but how the characters would speak to each other, what they would do in the situations that they were put in.
What weapons they would use.
Yes. Yeah, he even went so far, he asked one of the girls that he was doing research with, you know, what would you think of this creature if you found it? And the girl said, I wouldn't touch it. Don't want to get chlamydia. Yep. And he put that in the script because that's exactly something a teenager would say.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a great line.
Yeah.
That is exactly what a 15-year-old would say.
Yep.
But yeah, I know even the last, I think, 2 drafts of the script were influenced by the people that they cast. He talked to them. He let them influence the dialogue and discuss any changes that they felt were necessary with their characters. So mm-hmm. a lot of it was working with these people and this cast of unknown kids, because they got them all from drama classes or ads online. It was John Boyega's first movie. You know, it was a lot mm-hmm. of their first movies.
Yeah. Yeah. They said there was kind of, it seemed like a boot camp sort of that he put on. They had 1,500 people supposedly who auditioned several times. And it was kind of like a test of, are they going to show up on time? Are they going to have that self-discipline? Are they going to, you know, perform really well? And he just kind of like weeded people out from there. Yeah. Crazy. A good way to do it. And it very clearly shows that he put a lot of attention into it.
Yeah. And for a group of unknown actors, first time on set, they all did such a good job.
Yeah, they really did. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that he kind of researches, you know, how they would speak to each other and what dialogue they would use, which was, I will say, the first few lines out of people's mouths, I was like, there's no way people actually talk like this. This is not believable at all. But I mean, it really convinces you, like, this is actually how they're talking. Like, this is very authentic and genuine, which I think makes the work speak for itself.
Yeah. Growing up watching Skins and Misfits, I had no trouble believing that this was how they spoke.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But to speak on that, I feel like when I was younger, I grew up with those shows, weirdly. Back then, Hulu was free and I could just watch them there. But
Whoa, Hulu was free?
Yeah, back in my day, Hulu was free with ads.
I didn't even know that.
But yeah, Skins and Misfits were on there. That's how I found them. Well, I think I found them because Tumblr, they were all over Tumblr. And I was like, I got to watch these shows. But Attack the Block was also one that I watched when I was a kid. I think probably around the time it came out. Mm-hmm. And then to see all the people from those shows in this movie go on and do these great, huge, you know, productions was really cool. Because I remember when I think I was working in West Hollywood the time that the Star Wars cast was announced. And John Boyega was just on a huge poster outside my office. And I was like, no way, the guy from Attack the Block, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I knew him. So I was pumped to see him because I thought he did such a great job in this movie.
Yeah, he was great. And Jodie Whittaker, too. Jodie Whittaker joined one of the largest sci-fi franchises of all time. She's in Doctor Who. She is Doctor Who.
She is Doctor Who.
Yeah,
the first female Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always want to call her Forrest. And I stop myself.
Yeah, no relation, I don't think.
I don't think so. I get the names confused.
Yeah, I liked, there was a little fun fact that apparently she was slightly annoyed. I think more in a joking way.
Yeah,
that
endearing John Boy- way.
Yeah, yeah, that John Boyega would always call her Mrs. Whittaker on set, which I think is so adorable because he was so young and him just trying to be respectful. And she was like, I'm not that old.
Aww.
But
that's funny.
So they had a lot of lighthearted banter between the two. So I like that.
Cute.
Yeah.
Lots of inspiration behind this film, too. Mm-hmm. Lots of conflicting inspirations.
Yeah.
The one that I didn't know about that is kind of very obvious was some video game from the 90s, Another World.
Mm.
To me, they look a little bit more like lions, but they do look very similar. They're that like really dark black. They've got the weird blue mouths and it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
But also the wolf sequence from 300 and the ring wraiths from Lord of the Rings. The noises, at the very least, were very kind of ring wraithy.
Yeah. I think they also said Space Invaders was a partial inspiration.
Yeah, not even like the actual characters in the game. It's like the box of the arcade is what.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And then he also said, Joe Cornish said that he watched Signs and imagined how that would happen in South London. So that was kind of inspiration as well, which I clocked immediately when I watched that movie because they have the whole line about there's the two young kids, Probs and Mayhem, which, by the way, I would watch an entire spinoff series about those two. Obsessed.
So I love them.
They're like these little six-year-olds following around trying to help the whole time.
They're nine.
Are they nine? They're young.
Well, they make that joke in the film. What are you, six years old? Yeah. I'm nine.
That must have stuck with me. But yeah, they have a super soaker with them. And I think it's John Boyega's character makes a joke about, well, what, water's going to kill him? And immediately I was like, Signs.
Yeah.
It wasn't water. It was gasoline. But, you know.
Yeah.
That was fun. Oh, they were definitely a highlight of the movie. I thought those two were hilarious.
Yeah. And that, again, calls back to, like, there's all these different groups that we're following around. There's the two adults. There's the group of teenagers. There's the group of kids. There's the group of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all so, like, well thought out and got, like, a great storyline. And there's not an unlikable character in the film.
Yeah, no. I think – and they're all very, again, distinct characters. And none of them felt frivolous or unnecessary. They all kind of had their own part in the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, it's a well-written film.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. For a little. Not to,
I was going to say not to like give too much away on if I liked the movie or not, yeah, but yeah. You know, I think it's well shot, well acted, well written.
Yeah. Yeah. More on the inspiration. Joe Cornish said that he was mugged in real life. And it seemed like the people who were mugging him were just as scared as he was. So he kind of took from that and started researching, you know, what would it be like to be that group of teenagers that has to go around mugging people? Not has to, yeah. But does.
Well, in some instances, that is, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
How you can get by. Which I do think, again, not to like ride on this script writing so much, but I do think it's very, like, this is a very fun, humorous movie. It's action-packed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of jokes. And it's not like laugh out loud funny, but it's just kind of, you know.
There's a few.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's more humorous and like, oh my God, yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, tongue-in-cheek kind of.
Right, yeah. And there's these great characters and it's really like a fun movie. But at its heart, it's really saying a lot. And yeah. I just appreciate how well that's done too, where it is very much a social and political commentary on not only South London, I think you can relate that to a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty subtly done throughout it, except for, you know, obviously that one scene where Moses is saying that the police sent them to kill black kids. Like that's, you know, that's when I think it gets really overt. But yeah, just really well written.
Yeah. The scene, and you kind of could feel that it was going to happen, but when Jodie Whittaker kind of walks into the room and or walks into Moses's room and you don't see the room, you just see her kind of reaction to it. And then you turn around and you see like this kid's living by himself. Like he doesn't have like he has to take care of himself. That kind of like really like that was the perfect kind of character arc for him, like character arc for him.
Arc. I think, yeah, the best part of that scene for me personally is when she walks into the bedroom and she sees the Spider-Man blanket and all of this stuff for kids.
Yeah.
And she says, do you have a little brother? And he says, no. And that's when she finds out he's only 15 years old. Like, this is a child. So I think that was a really sad, beautiful moment in the film that really speaks to his character and why he does what he does.
Yeah. I don't even think that they had to have him say, I'm 15 years old. I think that the impact of that scene was already, like, when she said, do you have a little brother? And he's like, no. Like, that, the impact of it was already there.
Yeah, that was enough. But I do think that makes sense for her to follow up with that.
Yeah.
Because I think she probably thought he was, you know, maybe 18.
Yeah. Yeah. And but, like, tying that into the fact that he's clearly fending for himself and doesn't have, like, a parental or an adult figure.
Right. Yeah, he has no
emotional
support, societal, parental, nothing. Like he is on his own. And that's ultimately, we know what leads to crime is people not having resources.
Yeah. What other options do you have?
Yeah. Damn, Joe, you really popped off with this one.
Yeah, seriously. Another nerd reference. Another Star Wars reference, actually. I really, really liked Pest's character. His his costume was sort of like inspired by Boba Fett. The little like rocket packs or whatever. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. They make a lot of references. I mean, just even with the creatures themselves, you know. They say Moses got messed up by Dobby or something. They call him Gollum.
Gollum.
Like, yeah, they use a lot of pop culture references for the aliens.
Which is funny because when they said Dobby, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Like Dobby, like from Harry Potter. But I didn't actually think that that's what they were talking about because like, how could they? Because I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. I just, to me, it's not like a British thing, you know?
Harry Potter's not British.
I know. Well, because you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't know what you mean.
It's obviously like set in that area or whatever, but it feels like American pop culture, you know? So like when they said it, I was like, oh, that's funny, but this is like a foreign film, so like there's no way that's what they're talking about, you know?
No, I don't, but I love that you thought that. Yeah. I think, you know, a book written by an English person who sucks and then made into a movie by British people.
Yeah.
acted by British people in England or Europe, I guess, because they filmed in other places, feels very much like a British film to me. But
yeah,
it's crazy. You thought it was isolated. They referenced Star Wars and you thought there's no way that they could be referencing.
Well, the other thing is, like, I thought this movie was so much older than all of
2011.
That.
Oh, no.
It came out in 2011?
Mm-hmm.
I was already out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It kind of looks a little older. It's giving kind of like early 2000s vibes.
Well, I think that's probably due to the budget.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
It was not a very high budget.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. He even said that he, again, with the inspiration, there's a lot of inspiration for this movie, but he was inspired by Steven Spielberg and James Cameron's first movies. Was The Terminator James Cameron's first movie? No way.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Filmography. It was his second movie.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah, his first movie was Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Wow, who knew?
Google.
Funny.
That's, but that makes sense.
It says that it's his first because he doesn't want to be associated with that as his first.
Well, I knew it had to be close to his first because I knew Aliens was early on in his career. And that came out in 86.
Alien?
Aliens. He did the sequel.
Okay, got it. Who did the original?
Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dumb question.
That's okay. Sometimes you forget.
Yeah. Man, I really do need to see Aliens, don't I? I still haven't seen it. I liked Alien, and I like James Cameron.
I think you should watch it.
Okay, maybe I will.
Great. Done.
Okay. Anyway.
One detail that I liked, Joe Cornish said that it was important for him that hi-hats, the gang leader member guy, it was important for him to be the only person to be using guns.
Yeah.
He said that he's the genuine villain, he's the only villain, and that he is the guy who would shoot someone. So he really felt like if he put a gun in the hands of anybody else, it was going to be a different film. And that's why none of the kids use guns. Well, they use the one, but it's a toy. So I like that detail.
Me too. Yeah. Because to his point, a lot of people might think, oh, but the aliens, they're killing people. Like, they're just horny.
They're just they kind of say they're just spores floating through the universe waiting to mate. So you can't really blame them.
Yeah. They only used CGI when absolutely necessary, it sounded like, which kind of to your point a minute ago, low budget.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of room for paying for CGI. But I was shocked to learn that that smaller female alien towards kind of the end was a person in a suit.
Yeah. Well, I think at the beginning too, when it's attacking them.
The female one?
Yeah, because that's the first alien they encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that one would have been a puppet because they did use a lot of like head puppets.
Oh, see, I guess I would have thought that the ending one was a puppet in the beginning because it's not moving at the end.
Oh. Well, what I saw on IMDb facts at the very least was that the one at the end was a person in a suit, a petite woman in a suit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You're right, though, because the female one kind of runs away at the beginning.
Yeah.
Towards the park or whatever.
It attacks and then it goes in the shed and then they kill it.
Oh, you're right. You're right, that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, at some point there's a female alien and it's a woman in a suit. So.
Yeah. Well, there's just the one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that. We all know by now that unless this is your first episode, in which case, hi, welcome in. but I'm a fan of practical effects, so I like that. They apparently only built 2 suits for the aliens, so that's fun. But even the mouth was done practically.
Mm-hmm.
With the animatronics.
Yeah.
And they said that, it helped with the budget, but it also helped the actors on set, which I'm sure, again, a lot of them, first time on a set, would be very difficult to just be working in front of a green screen with the tennis balls to pretend that that was it. So they said that it helped a lot, especially when they're being chased and doing those types of scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the joints used in the movie were real joints. They used herbal tobacco.
Yeah.
They had to cut out a lot from the film because of the budgetary constraints. Also, there were like 15 pages of script supposedly that Joe Cornish had to cull out of the final.
Yeah, which are I would sequels? Like to see them.
Yeah, are there sequels?
So there is not a sequel yet.
Oh.
In May of 2021, it was announced that Cornish would be writing and directing a sequel with Boyega set to reprise his role.
Woohoo!
And he was going to be producing. So,
who's producing? Boyega?
Boyega.
Cute.
Yes.
All grown up.
Yeah, so they wanted to kind of touch in on Moses's life now and what happened. I'm assuming more aliens, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's all we know, just that it's been announced. I haven't heard any news that it's not still being worked on, so fingers crossed, one of these days we'll get more news on that.
Cute. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when stars get so big that they, like, don't go back to their roots at some point, you know what I mean? Or they're, like, too good for it. He's never struck me as that kind of guy, John Boyega.
No, he seems like a nice man.
Yeah, pretty down to earth.
Yeah, I like to think. Yeah, I don't know. I think I kind of understand it both ways. Sometimes you just get too busy. And you can't really, just doesn't work out. So I kind of understand that.
It doesn't feel like an excuse to me.
That's fair. It sucks when you're a fan.
Yeah.
Like, not to, you know, talk about Skins this whole episode, but there's, I mean, seasons 1 and 2 is one generation. Seasons 2 and 3 or 3 and 4 are another generation, but it's someone's little sister is in 3 and 4, and the actor that plays her older brother is Nicholas Holt. And they have, like, such a close relationship in seasons 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4 happens, and we never hear about his character. Yeah. So it's like, it just, yeah, it's obviously because Nicholas Holt went on and was busy. He was doing other stuff.
Yeah.
He was doing X-Men. Like, he couldn't come back for it. But it was kind of, it did kind of take away from it, because we're like, if she was going through this, like, he would be there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, based on what we know for the characters. So I do understand when it doesn't feel right in the concept of the characters that we know and love, but sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Is Nicholas Holt the evil bisexual in Skins?
Yes, he is. Oh.
See, I don't have to watch it. I already know.
Yeah.
You're talking about it constantly.
You should still watch it, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like watching evil bisexual Tony Stoneham do his work.
Another thing you love is when films are shot in chronological order.
I do love that.
This one was, mostly.
I know.
The mugging on day one.
Yeah. Which would make sense if it was shot chronologically.
Yep. And they did a lot of stuff in single take. Weirdly, there's a lot of information on this movie on how many takes it took to shoot a lot of different scenes. which is funny. But the scene where the police van smashes into the BMW, that was only one take.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Especially when the you know, risk is having to find another BMW and another police van.
Yeah. It would definitely add to the budget.
Yeah. Did you... Sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was just, like, reading through everything.
Okay. Did you hear what they wanted to call this movie for American audiences?
Yes.
Space Bears.
Or?
Space Gremlins.
Yeah. Because that would attract a larger audience, which I am inclined to say that it almost would in America.
Well,
I could see people going to Space Bears before Attack the Block.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Attack the Block doesn't really give anything away, and we love when stuff is given away. That's shifting a little now, I think, but
I should fucking hope so.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. Oh, no, literally. On this episode of literally like a few minutes ago, we were just talking about that. Wow, it felt like so long ago.
Years ago, we talked about that. Yeah. Yeah, I'll never stop talking about that. Because what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm never going to not hate the people who made the Abigail trailer last year. Yeah. That was fucking crazy. What are you talking about? I'll hate them till the day I die, and I don't even know their names.
Yeah. That's one good thing about having a goldfish memory, though, is that, like, I don't even remember why the Abigail trailer sucked. I just know that it gives something away, but I've also never seen it, so.
There you go. I would wait, like, another year and then watch it, because then it'll be completely erased.
I think you underestimate how much it is erased already.
Damn.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that. Sometimes I can, but then sometimes I'll just think about it too much. And then, because I'm so mad that it got spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, one of the books on my list this year got spoiled for me.
Was it Mean Graduate?
No. It was on TikTok. Okay. And I just was so mad about it that I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then now I know I'm never going to not know what happens at the end. And I'm really sad about it. But then, like, a movie that I wanted to watch last year got spoiled for me. And then I waited 6 months because I immediately was just like, oh, put that out of your mind because you want to watch that. And by the time I watched it, I had completely forgotten. I don't even remember what the spoiler was that I saw.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just depends on how much I ruminate on it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Last of Us?
The season one, yeah.
Okay.
I think I watched it in Discord.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
That was all.
Thank you.
I had season two of Last of Us spoiled for me because I had never finished the game.
Oh, I had, yeah. Yeah, I know something about that as well that I saw on TikTok again.
Yeah.
I'm happy you're getting banned. No, I'm just
kidding. Get out of here, TikTok, you piece of shit.
You piece of shit spoiler website. Fucker.
Yeah.
So I did get part of that spoiled as well, so.
Which part?
Well, I'm not going to say it here. Come on.
They can pause or mute or...
Oh, a character that dies. I think anybody who knows who I'm talking about. Was that for you as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the golf club? No. Oh, God. Okay, never mind.
Well, now I know. Any other fun facts?
The female alien cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a lawn ornament in Joe Cornish's garden.
Yeah, I didn't find anything that said he actually got to take it, but I did see that he wanted to keep it in his backyard.
Why would he not be allowed to? Isn't it his film?
Well, yeah, but, you know, if there's a production company, I think they get to... I don't know who has the rights to things after a movie is made, if it's the production company that funded it or...
Yeah, throughout this podcast, a few times we've said, hey, just in case you're writing a movie, don't forget to put this in your contract. Here's another one of those things.
Mm.
Don't forget to put, you want to keep stuff that you want to keep in the contract.
Yeah. Alien cocoon, mine.
Mm-hmm.
Bolt.
Yes.
In your contract.
Yeah. It's probably more relevant for, like, costuming and, like, stuff along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people keep stuff from sets.
Yeah. I mean, in modeling, when I was a kid, I did some modeling, and it was always, like, you know, I mean, it was, like, pajamas for JCPenney.
Damn. Was, like, do you still have stuff. The ads?
No. No, I never did ad stuff. I did runway stuff.
A runway model in our midst?
Yeah, like 2 or 3 times is not a big deal. But anyway, that was like one of the things that they said was like, make sure you ask to keep whatever you try on. Usually they'll let you keep it.
Did you get to keep a lot of it?
No.
Oh.
Which is a bummer, but.
Awkward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Put it in your contract so then you get to keep it.
Yeah. I mean, it probably depends on who you are that you get to put that in your contract. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Because I doubt if you're just starting out, you can be like, I get to keep whatever I want from set. And they're like, no.
Well, not whatever you want, but like your wardrobe is made for you. Like it's fitted to you. It would make sense. Like, what are they going to do with it? You know?
Yeah. Use it again.
But for who? I don't know, I guess.
Everybody in acting pretty much has the same measurements, so.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They're all wearing smalls.
Yeah, I hate that. How about you? Any other fun facts about your time in childhood or this movie?
My time in childhood? I was not a model, no. But I was, my mom was asked if I wanted to be a Gerber baby.
Wow.
And she said no. So I was not a Gerber baby, but I could have been. And I did do beauty pageants. Not Ooh. Like what you're thinking. Oh. It was not, I did not have like a ton of makeup on and stuff like that. It was just like a go in and if your kid's cute, you can win an award.
Fun.
I did win, by the way.
Wow.
First in my division, third overall.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Look at us, still learning things about each other.
Yeah.
After all this time.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah. I'm running out of step, though.
Oh, okay. We'll find something. Don't worry. We'll unlock a memory or something, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was just thinking about something like, I wonder if I ever told Cassidy that story. What was it? Oh, I just remembered, and it's not appropriate for the podcast.
Great. We'll talk about that after the end. Okay, last actual fun fact for me was that Joe Cornish based the character of Bruce on himself when he was in his 20s.
Wow, the druggy, the little fun. The
guy that's just high the whole time.
Yeah, oh my god, that's funny.
I will say, I think the one part that I did laugh out loud because I forgot it happened was when I think it's right after Jerome gets killed. And they're like, there's the fog everywhere, and they're trying to back up into the elevator. And the one kid just punches because he sees something coming at him, but it's Bruce.
Yes.
I did think that was very funny.
That was funny, yes. I was sad Jerome died.
I was kind of sad when all of them died. Well, like, yeah, you really kind of liked this little gang of kids, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Jerome, that was a sad one.
Yeah, imagine losing, like, that many of your friends at that age. That would have been terrible. He's going to be quite the hardened adult in the sequel that comes out at some point, eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see his growth.
Yeah. What else has Joe Cornish done that I would know?
I don't think anything.
Oh, okay, well.
Oh, wait, maybe. I know for a while. He didn't do anything for a while after this.
Why? It was just kind of set? No need?
I don't know. Yeah, I know he was working on an adaptation of the novel Snow Crash.
I haven't even heard of it.
But, yeah, it came out in the 90s. But that was as of June of 2012. So I don't even know if we've heard anything since then. Yeah, let me see. He was a writer for Ant-Man.
I hated Ant-Man. I just don't like Paul Rudd.
What did he do to you?
I like that one meme of him. Look at us.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this like last episode, didn't we?
Yeah, because he's in Unicorn Death Unicorn Dies. Yeah. Whatever that movie's called.
Yeah, and then he wrote and directed a movie called The Kid Who Would Be King that came out in 2019.
Wow, he's not doing a lot.
No. Oh, I guess for television... He did a show called Lockwood & Co. And then in 2024, it was announced that he's going to direct one of three live-action Lego movies for Universal.
I'm sorry. A live-action Lego movie?
Yep. One of three.
A live-action Lego movie, huh?
A live-action Lego movie. If they can do it with Minecraft, they can do it with Legos, I guess.
Have you seen the trailer for Minecraft?
I think I watched, like, the first couple seconds of it.
Oh.
But I don't really know anything about Minecraft, so it didn't... Sorry.
That's okay. It looks really stupid.
Great. Can't wait.
Anyway, well, should we rate it?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. How scary did you think it was?
Question. Last episode, we talked about possibly amending the scale to a 0.5 to 5 rating.
We've talked about that many times.
Yeah. But last episode, you seemed on board, which, you know, we argued about the fact that you had not been on board previously.
No.
And you denied that, but that's the truth. And then...
I have always wanted that. I have always argued at the 0.75s. I don't want 0.75s and 0.25s because that complicates the math. But a 0.5 doesn't complicate the math.
I'm going to go back and find where I said we should go down to 0.05. And you said, no, we're too far in.
No, you said that.
I did not.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to find it. Anyways, do we agree? Are we going to go to 0.5 to 5?
Well, it's too late now. We're already 3 episodes into the year. It would have made sense if we'd done it at the beginning of the season.
Interesting. All right.
We can.
So just to be clear, right now, you're saying no.
Well, now I am. I didn't before. No, we should. We should. Let's do 0.5.
Okay, cool. I give this a 0.5 out of 5.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it's scary at all. It's a romp.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't think the intention was for it to be scary. I think it was an adorable adventure with some gore added to it.
Yeah. Little bit.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
I didn't.
Oh, great.
I wouldn't give it a 0.5. I would give it a 1. Oh, I also gave scary a 0.5. If we're going on 0.5, now 0.5.
Got it.
Sexy, I mean, I guess I would give it a 1 because it's not like the least sexy movie ever, but it didn't give me that vibe. Even the aliens didn't really do it for me. They were like mop heads dipped in asphalt.
Okay.
What about you?
I give it a 1.5.
Okay.
Not a lot of sexy vibes.
No.
But I gave it a point for, I do think the aliens are kind of doing something. I like their glowing mouths.
Yeah.
And also Jodie Whittaker yielding a knife.
Yeah.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah. Everything else? No.
No thanks.
But those two things? Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.
Okay.
So just like a little point for when his nose gets ripped off. That was a little much for the movie. Because that's not the vibe of the movie, really. And then all of a sudden, this guy's nose just gets ripped off. And it was like, wow, that's pretty graphic.
Yeah. See, I gave it a 1.5 for the children in peril and for the face scene.
Yeah.
I was surprised they went that hard with both of those things.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that was crazy. The neck being ripped out wasn't fun either, but
yeah,
that's pretty standard.
Yeah, I don't know. I also think it was just not as graphic as seeing his noseless face.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is that that's kind of similar to the scene that bothered me in The Northman.
Really?
Yeah, it's a nose scene.
Interesting.
That really gets me.
Noses, huh?
Yeah. But it's not the nose. It's not the first nose scene. You'll see the first nose scene. You're like, that bothered you? It's not that.
Great. Second nose scene.
The second
I'll be
nose
on the
scene.
Lookout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Yikes.
All right. Overall, what did you think of Attack the Block?
Yeah, this was a really fun movie. Definitely. I mean, a little bit of a product of its time. But I was enthralled the whole time. I loved all the characters. They're all very fun and engaging. Great character development, which you talked about. And they were all developing, which is so hard when there is such a huge list of characters. Not an unlikable person in it. Even the villain was enjoyable. And the soundtrack, I didn't even talk about it. The soundtrack was very good. It was absolutely perfect for the tone and the subject matter. It was like, how did I describe it? I think Shark Tank meets early Marvel.
I thought you were going to describe it as blah, blah, blah. Them continuing to do that throughout the movie was killing me.
Yeah. Very funny. But no, I thought it was a very good soundtrack. There was obviously just a lot of care that went into the story and the development of the film. So super props for that. Overall, just like very fun. I gave it a 4.
Correct. This movie is a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I still, like, this movie's so underrated. So many people haven't seen this, and it's not talked about enough, and it should be, because I feel like I remember, I put this on the list because I remembered being like, yeah, this was a really good movie. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, this is a really good movie.
Yep.
It was, like, even better than I remembered it being. Yeah, great writing, great characters, funny, heartfelt, very interesting messaging, and kind of underratedly beautifully shot too. There are a lot of scenes in this movie that are stunning. Mm-hmm. The whole sequence of Moses going to the apartment where it's all in slow-mo and there's fireworks getting shot through the apartment and they're chasing him down the hall is all just like very beautifully done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for a directorial debut, this is crazy. And I would like Joe Cornish to do more, please.
Yeah, seriously, what the hell?
Yeah.
Can't just blue ball us like that.
Yeah. I really hope that nothing happens and the sequel does get made because I would like to see it.
Me too.
Anyways, yeah, 4 out of 5.
So fun.
Great film. Would you survive? That's the real question.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that I had already seen the pheromone documentary that kind of cued the guys off like, oh, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I think I would have made that connection, like, it's because you have a female or it's because you like they're coming for this. So I think I would have figured it out. And I think that having figured it out saved what characters remained. So I live.
That's fair.
Thank you. How about you?
I do think I live because A, I'm friends with you, so you'd figure it out.
Thank you.
But also, I don't think I'm getting anywhere near the female to begin with.
No?
No, if something attacks like that, I'm not going near it. I'm not going to seek it out to kill it. Like, that's crazy. Bye.
Well, did he get the pheromones on him when he was investigating? Or was it because he... Because they were all in there when they shot it.
I'm also not robbing a car. So I...
That's true.
If something hits a car next to me, I'm gone. Goodbye.
You're not looking?
No.
Oh.
I'm not that curious.
I am.
I'm not. So I don't think I'm getting anywhere near it. I don't think I have the pheromones even on me.
Okay.
I'm minding my own business. Yeah. And I'm friends with you. So you figured it out. And you're over there helping them solve it.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
She lives.
I live. By minding my own business.
Yeah. Wow. If we only could just all mind our own business more often.
In ways that matter. But I also think the community is important. We have to look out for each other.
Yeah.
Don't start with me. This whole mindset of I don't know anybody, nothing. It's not good. It's bad. It's a bad mindset to have. We owe each other things.
Strangers?
Yeah, everybody. You owe everybody things, Katie.
Okay, I'm not, what? Who are you talking to? Wait, you think I'm just going to go around being a bitch or something? I'm nice. I'm a nice person.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you said it.
I am.
No, you are.
I'm just also really tired. All the time, but especially right this second.
We got to wrap this up so you can take a nappy.
Seriously, I can't though. We have to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah. God, you always do stuff.
Well, this is a stupid thing and it's not even for me to be able to do. We have to go do something to be able to do something, and I'm not even included in the doing something, the second doing something.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never known someone who does as much as you do. Like, you always have plans.
That's not true. If I don't, I will kill myself. If I don't have plans, I'll die.
You're like that interview of Debbie Ryan where she's like, it scares me to be still.
Yeah, I just don't like it. There's got to be something on the calendar.
No, I'm the opposite.
It's like, oh my God, only 5 more days until this. Only 6 more days until that. You know what I mean?
No, I have one thing on my calendar. This, like, I just made plans and I'm like, God, I have to do stuff next week.
Yeah. Also, don't forget that I'll be in town on the 27th.
That's crazy.
So you've got that to look forward to too.
Fuck me. Two things? In 1 month?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted already. Okay, do you want to predict next week's movies?
Sure. 2 of them? Okay.
I think you've already seen the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, then what are we doing here?
Well, because you haven't seen the sequel.
Oh, there's 2 of them. Got it. Okay.
We're watching The Shining.
Oh!
And Doctor Sleep.
Hooray! It's not a sequel. It's a spinoff, yeah?
No, it's a sequel.
Okay, so it's about the sun.
A direct sequel.
Yeah, it's about the sun. The sun grows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes a doctor.
Of course. Of sleep.
Well, yeah, like a sleep specialist, you know, because sometimes you have to get like sleep studies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he becomes a doctor and he is helping a patient, a young boy, much like himself. He sees himself in the young boy. And the young boy, whenever he falls asleep, also makes everyone around him fall asleep. So he comes into a sleep study.
Mm.
He does a sleep study with everybody or whatever, with the doctor, and he falls asleep during it. And when he makes people fall asleep, they have nightmares. So there's like flashbacks of whatever entity took hold of his father in the first one.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember if that was explained. I don't think so. I think it was more of an ambiguous thing. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so the doctor figures that out eventually, that it's like contagious sleep from this yeah. patient that he's seeing, and that contagious sleep, you can actually kill people during. So
the contagious sleep.
Yeah. So, and then he figures out how to, it was a product of his circumstances. Like, you know how like the dad, the product of his circumstances made him go crazy or whatever.
Right.
Being in the hotel or whatever. So once he removed the kid from like whatever, the orphanage or wherever he was, then he was better. He was fine. And that's the end. Happy ending.
Great.
Yeah.
Not really. No.
No.
Is he a few things.
Kind is he of. The doctor?
He's not a doctor, but he is Dr. Sleep.
Oh, okay.
He's an orderly, but he gets a nickname Dr. Sleep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he falls asleep all the time?
No, because he like comforts patients who are dying.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's a nice thing he does.
Yeah.
Takes a special and he person. Does attempt to help a child. That is correct as well.
Oh, okay.
But not because of a sleep disease.
Oh, darn.
No, but I'll leave the rest to find out once we okay. watch.
All right. Well, exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've seen both.
So. Me too. The first one.
Yeah, yeah. Also, do you know who wrote and directed the sequel?
Obi-Wan Kenobi, right?
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
No, he's in it.
Oh, is he Dr. Sleep?
He's Dr. Sleep, yeah. He's okay. Danny. Right.
That's the only person I knew was affiliated with the film, so it was great. It was
No, he did not write and direct it.
Who did?
It was Mike Flanagan.
Okay. Wow, yeah. I kind of like him.
Kind of. A little bit.
Yeah. No, I do like him. I do like Mike Flanagan. I want to see all of his stuff. I'm almost
great.
I've almost
seen all of his
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Hooray!
One at a time. All right, cool. Well, looking forward to that next week.
Yep.
If you've listened this far, please like and subscribe.
Yes,
TikTok's
please.
Getting banned, so don't follow us there. But
I mean, you can. Mr. Wonderful is going to buy it.
Oh, sex. Okay. Yeah, but he's trying to get her to sell it. Probably not.
Well, I think that the problem is that they don't want to sell it with the algorithm, and that's the part that's worth money.
Right. Yeah.
We'll see.
It also just doesn't benefit them to sell it, really. I mean, well, I guess they make money, but
yeah,
I think it'll be a while before anything like that is in talks.
Yeah,
because I think they're going to try to push back on it as much as they can before that's even a discussion. Anyways, feel free to follow us. We have YouTube. We have Instagram. We don't really post on Instagram, but maybe we'll start once TikTok's
gone. Yeah, that's the only place we can.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know if there's any movies you want us to watch.
We'll do it. Don't tempt us. Or actually
we'll do
tempt
it.
Us.
Please tempt us. We'll do it so hard. Anyways, if you're in the Southern California area, please stay safe.
Yeah.
It's crazy out there.
Oh, can I share my favorite fact that I learned about having to be evacuated from your home in a fire?
Yes.
It's a very good fact. Take your laundry basket of dirty clothes, because it's clothes that fit you. It's clothes that are weather appropriate. It's clothes that you like because you just wore them. There's going to be underwear. There's going to be socks. So you're not going to forget those.
There you go.
Yeah. I like
yeah.
that. I've been telling everybody.
I think if you're in the area, you know, if you need to have an evac bag ready to go. So
yeah.
just be prepared. Please stay safe.
Yeah.
And if you are able to help, please look into that as well. There's lots of resources. Maybe we can link some.
But at the very least, we'll link the art that's being sold.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, stay safe. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.